Well, how are you tonight? This, I think, is the 26th of February, AD 13, and St. Hill Special Briefing Course Lecture. All right. The subject of this subject matter is very important to you. We've always had very precise technology. Leaving as little as possible to chance in processing. But frankly, with the advent of routine 3M, you move into a new level of precision. This is the type of a precision that if you don't do it, you get involved more than you possibly could imagine. All you've got to do is do this wrong, and it is no longer precise. Therefore, don't go plowing ahead with it until you can do it right. The other part of it is, of course, if you don't do it, you won't learn how to do it. There's the old gag, you know, about my little boy Jimmy can't go swimming till he learns how. And I'm afraid that's the case here. Well, a place to learn listing is in 212. And the place to learn auditing is in an academy. The place to learn the finishing touches of auditing is the St. Hill Special Briefing Course. Once you've been over those jumps, why, you should be able to do 3M without too much trouble. But in actual fact, a routine 3M is going to be done on an awful lot of people and by an awful lot of people. And that means that you are going to be involved, actually, in straightening out a lot of cases. So all you have to know to straighten out a case, in actual fact, is where wasn't routine 3M done? Now, right now, I sympathize with you. You've been doing routine 3M up until this time without an immediate step rundown of routine 3M. And that's arduous. That's probably very difficult. Probably nothing more difficult than picking your information from several different bulletins and sources. The rules of 12A, as far as listing are concerned, apply to routine 3M, and all the material has already been released. It has not, however, been assembled with tremendous precision until this exact moment, and we have HCO Bulletin of 22 February, AD 13, which is routine 3M, brief rundown by steps, has the first actual bulletin of this. This will be in your hands shortly. But you notice that 23 February, well, that's, pardon me, 22 February, you notice that that is a few days ago. This is the 26th, and it seldom takes me that long to write a bulletin. But this particular case, I've been going over this thing and throwing away all of the non-essentials. You'll be quite interested how very simple, in actual fact, that routine 3M turns out to be. It is only your idea of how complicated you ought to get that will keep you from doing 3M. In actual fact, the more figure you do, and the more figuring you do, and the more worry, and this sort of thing you do, the less 3M you're going to get done. 3M will not compromise with the exact precise following of its steps. There's no compromise for this. And when you don't follow its steps, you start to worry. Now, 3M is a very rapid process, and the only time that you'll find that it becomes a lengthy process is is when you have not done it. When you haven't done it, it will become very lengthy. I have already seen a whole session devoted to straightening up one goof, where in actual fact you should have been able, in that session, you should have been, the auditor should have been able to find three or four RIs. Actually, the whole session had just burned up with one goof. didn't do what it was supposed to have done, and therefore I was worry, goof, upset, and so forth. Well, the way not to worry with this, because worry is something that will go along with this, the way not to worry with this is to know it. And you do have these steps on HCOB 22 February, and there will be much more information out on this. But in actual fact, I'd like to impress upon you that most of this other information is just in the line of keeping you from worrying. I'll give you a piece of information that isn't in this bulletin so you can get the level of magnitude. Although the PC has represented a rocket reading item while listing, although the PC has done this, the appearance still of two rocket reading items on the list, or two RSing items on the list, means the list is incomplete. Now, that's something you might worry about, don't you see? You say, well, there is a big bad man and a very terrible man. And the PC is trying to get across a concept there. And when it was listed, why, a big bad man read, and then immediately a very terrible man, it also rocket read, and it's quite obvious there that he had the concept of a vicious being, and he has given two titles to it. Now you go back to knowing. See, that's all right, two rocket reads, all the rocket reads you want on listing you, that you see going down on your meter. I mean, that's the point. But now you're knowing. Now you come to this item, a big bad man. And it goes, phew, rocket reads. And then you check a terrible man. You see, that was the next to the last item. They lay both together. The next to the last rocket reading item. You read that, it goes, phew. And then you get your next item, a very terrible man. You say, there's something wrong here. But of course, that actually is a represent of one for the other. So you say to yourself, well, it's all right. So you read a very terrible man, and it goes, phew. And the PC says, well, they're both the same item. And you buy this. You'll notice that it is a variation and a difference from your bulletin. It says there mustn't be two rocket reading items on the list. I've actually seen this. I've actually tested it. And if two variations of the same item read, the list is incomplete. In other words, the rule does not get jumped. The only thing that gets jumped there is you figure yourself into a hole. Well, actually, there aren't any of these figures to be done. And that's one of the first things I'd like to impress on you. There aren't any to be done. You say, all right, well, he said a big bad man, and then, of course, he had this concept of this person. He said a very terrible man. So, therefore, if he said a big bad man and then a very terrible man, they, of course, would both rocket read. And when I read these two, then if that, of course, is an exception to the rule. No, it isn't. It isn't an exception to the rule. See, that's how bound in concrete this is, and that's why I made my opening remarks. You've been used to precision, but you've been used to exceptions to the rule. And there aren't any exceptions to these rules. Something very fantastic has happened here. We actually have the total anatomy of the GPM. We have its frequency. We know what it's supposed to do and what it isn't supposed to do. And routine 3M just parallels it, just like that. Goes right straight down. If it doesn't work just like that, you've goofed. That's all. You've done something in 3M that is wrong. You go back and you look at it. You'll find out what it is. You didn't take the tone arm action out of the list. Who or what would oppose a catfish? That's all. And there was wild tone arm action there, and you didn't complete the list. And you go over the list, and you find that the third rocket reading item from the end is the item. And it goes, pew! And it's the third from the end. Well, that's a variation from the rules. You say, well, I got a rocket reading item, so I went ahead and used it. And then you find out about two items later, the whole basket folds up. That's it, it's gone. You haven't got any rocket reading RIs. You list the list and nothing reads, and you extend the list and nothing reads, and you sweat and swear and go into nervous prostration and have to get processed for ulcers. And what have you got? Well, you just haven't done it by the rules, so the rules don't apply. In fact, nothing applies. In fact, it's a case of why did you ever get up that morning? Because you actually will spend now... The time spent on 3M is when you haven't done it right. And then you'll find, well, this week we'll try to get the PC straightened out, and we will prep check, and we will do this and that, and we will do another big goal suppose, and we will do this, and PC still ARC broke, and we can't get anything much to read. Let's do something new. Yeah, let's now find another goal. Let's go back to 212. Let's do something else, something new. Let's be wonderful. Let's invent something new. Let's run him on OW, on a mouse. We had a mouse at some time. Oh, that's the way not to do it. No, you just go back and you find out where 3M jumped the rails. You pick it up at that point and you put it back on the rails. And it then will run. And the only thing that happens is the frequency of the bank gets upset. Whereas your 25 item plus, see, doesn't work. Every now and then, from here on through that particular GPM, it'll fortunately only last that one GPM, you will confidently complete a list to 25 items beyond the last RR or RS, and no TA action. You get it all complete, and you read the last rock slamming item, you read the next to the last rocket reading item, you read the rocket reading item, and it doesn't fire, and you read the one above it, and it doesn't fire, and you read the one below it, and it doesn't fire. Oh, my God, what have I done? Well, don't blow your brains out. You made a mistake someplace up the line earlier, which you have corrected. But now the frequency is thrown out, and your whole action, as it tells you in this bulletin, when that sort of thing happens, you go back and make sure that something wasn't opposed backwards. That's your first step. And make sure that it wasn't the item above it and the item below it and two above it and two below it. That's item, not rocket reading item. Make sure that you didn't goof there. Make sure it doesn't exist on there between that one that didn't read that was supposed to and the end of the list. You can do all those things, but there's a test that gets you out of this. Read the item you're listing from, and it gives the faintest tick. Your list is not complete. It's all taken care of in here if you just do it right. You get the idea. You get the idea. That's the only thing that'll happen. It won't upset the frequency of the bank to the point where it's no longer the last rocket reading item, you know? It always goes on being the last rocket reading item that you saw while listing. It's just that it shook things up, and the PC now has to list further. You don't now add 50 on it or something stupid like that. You just have to cope with this. In other words, that's the only thing that goes wrong. Another rule... that goes throughout this, it's also stated in this bulletin, is when you got your hands on an RI, you keep going. If you got an RI, you keep going. Now, strangely enough, that doesn't mean an RI that came from a list where five RIs came from. You understand? That means an actual RI gotten by the rules. You got this thing firing. I don't care whether it was a goal supposed or otherwise. You've got this thing going. You've got it going. Well, there it is. It came up properly. It checks out. It gives you a nice rocket read. Bang. Use it. As long as you've got one of those things, don't go getting one from the goal. You understand? Now, you know what happens? You got a beautiful RI, and it goes, phew, every time. And you say, well, I don't know. I just don't know. It just came up a terminal when it should have come up an op term. And figure yourself to death. See, you've already goofed someplace or another, and you upset the frequency of the bank. The other thing that upsets when you get the frequencies, you sometimes start getting terminals when you should get op terms and so forth. That doesn't matter. You just go on and test them and use them. Each RI that comes up can be a terminal or an op term. You always have to test it. It isn't how it was listed. It was how it tested. Always. So you say, well, that isn't so good. As a matter of fact, I got a cable this morning from somebody who just left here, and he got out to a very far place, and he sent me a cable this morning, and he said, I have just done a goals opposed list on a certain PC, and the goals opposed list came out, and the rocket read was only half an inch long, so I think it's best that I go back and do another goals opposed list. Well, you know what he'll get from new goals, that old goals opposed list, if he does another one? He may or may not get the one that comes up next. He will get a fundamental, and you probably could do goals opposed and get the item, and the next goals opposed and get the next item, and another goals opposed and get the next item, and another goals opposed and get... But how tough do you want to make it? Because you see, the item can appear any place on a goals opposed list and only appears as the last rocket reading item on an RI list. Goals opposed lists take longer. In addition to that, it might not join up. And if it didn't join up, you're left there with two rocket-reading reliable items. Well, now, the best-laid auditors can make themselves sick, gasping and so forth, worrying about all this. The point is, what do you do? Well, I'm afraid you take the biggest rocket-read that you can get at any time. You understand? When you make a choice, choose it by the length of the rocket read. You will make these goofs. They will occur. That's sure. What's inexcusable is not knowing when you have goofed and in not doing something about it to straighten it out. So you do wind up with two RIs. Here's one way to get them. It's done on me by accident. One way to get two RIs is you get right down to the end. The goal is to catch catfish. And the last terminal that you get from the PC is the goal to catch catfish. And the op term is no catfish. And the PC says, but that's it. That's it. As a matter of fact, if you happen to be looking at your meter, if you had looked at your meter that session, you would see the thing swinging with a free needle. Might only be free for a moment, but it would have been free. And that would be a weird phenomenon, a free needle. And he says, the goal to catch catfish would oppose catching... No catfish. Perfect. You've already gotten about 20 items on this. You see, it's never the first two. You got about 20 items. The PC says, that's it. It's blown. It's all, everything's disappeared. All these catfish... Can't smell a thing. Everything is beautiful. I mean, it feels wonderful. And you say, well, I'm not sure. Just to make sure, I better oppose this big, beautiful RI. I still have an RI on no catfish. It's not a mistake. Not a mistake, because nothing bad will happen. So you say, catfish, and you test it out, and you make it just exactly what it is. You make it just exactly it's a op term. You say, all right, we're going to list now who or what would oppose cat, or who or what would catfish oppose. Oppose catfish, excuse me. Nice op term. We list this, who or what would oppose catfish, and we go on down the line, pocket to pocket to pocket. He says, some new mass is coming in. Well, look, it doesn't say anything about it in here, so you just keep going. It's all right, so mass comes in. It's perfectly all right. Do it every time. Who would oppose catfish? And who or what would oppose no catfish? It's the right line. You land with a horseshoe curve. What happened? Horseshoe curve. Well, don't worry yourself to death. You've got the basic rule. The fundamental rule is when you got an RI, you determine if it's a terminal or an op-term. You oppose it, so you determine this thing, horseshoe curve. You determine that that happens to be it's another op-term. And you say, who or what would oppose a horseshoe curve? And you come up with a blinking millionaire. Where the hell are these catfish? Not a fish market in any direction. PC smells different. Everything's different. Well, the rules say go on and oppose it. So you say a blinking millionaire. All right, and it happens to be a terminal, so who or what would a blinking millionaire oppose? And it winds up with the whole wide world. Boy, you never could have gotten further from catfish. And you say to yourself, oh, my God, look what I've done. I mean, I had a free needle. And I didn't front check it. I didn't do anything at all. And I didn't straighten it out. And I had a first goal clear. And he's gone. And then now I've got this other thing. And I don't know what it's all about. And I don't know where I've gone and what it's done. And in this bulletin, it says, something in here, someplace must cover the thing. Golly, when a needle goes free, just tell the PC and keep going. Don't bother with the prep check. Just keep doing steps 8 to 13 as long as you can, but realize that you're probably now on a new goal channel. When you have two or more RIs that the PC knows by step 13 above, do not fit the old goal. Do a brief new goals list for an RR goal. Oh, yeah. The PC's been sitting there, and he doesn't know about this. You know, and you say, well, what goal do those fit? And the PC, this is how fast this takes. This is a 10 or 15 minute step. See? You say, what goal's that fit? And he's, oh, and to be rich? To have a lot of money? To be broke? To have nothing? You say, that's it. Thank you very much. To have nothing? To have nothing? To have nothing? So you take that down, and you right away put it down quick on the auditor's report and go right on with that next RI. You understand? It's as easy as that. You can just work yourself to death. You can just worry yourself to death with this stuff. It looks terribly complicated. Look, don't kid yourself. You do it wrong and not follow this bulletin, you're not only going to worry yourself to death, you're going to cost the PC's next 200 trillion, see? He's going to slog along in the horrible mess that he's in now. But as far as that's concerned, if you do it right, it's just bang, bang, bang. And don't go. Finding things to worry about. Now let's examine why auditors and even people. You know, by the way, you know, we had some staff members here the other day, administrative staff members who were trying to rejoin the human race. Can you imagine it? As if they'd have them, you know, pretty wild. And they said, in view of the fact that the administrative Scientologist is not a professional auditor, but only a Scientologist, why, I think we ought to be permitted to do a simple process. Here I received the shock of my life. That's the first time I ever heard that a Scientologist could exist that wasn't an auditor. A real Scientologist, or somebody who had an HPA or an HCA that didn't consider himself capable of handling processes. He wanted a simple process. Well, this is a simple process. This is a very simple process. That's all right. We'll cut this out of the tape after this lecture and so forth, so it won't go all over the world. I was ashamed of it myself, you know. I was ashamed of it. Actually, prep checking is difficult compared to this. Now, looky here. A PC has got a bank. First, we call it the reactive mind. And then we found the anatomy of this reactive mind, GPM. It's a whole sequence of GPMs which make up the grand GPM. Each one of those things is fundamentally founded on a goal. And they're a conglomeration of identities which are counter-opposed. And these identities are hung up on the postulate, counter-postulate of a problem, and they're hung up with great delicacy. Actually, they're killing the PC, but they're hung up with great delicacy. In 200 trillion years, he's had a very finite number of these things hang up. They aren't an infinite number. They're very finite. Some kind of a wild guesstimate of the number of rocket reading reliable items to be found in the first and second goal, 70. 70 RIs. that's not very many. But that's because it's only this accidental hang-up that gives him this fantastic charge between one and the other. That's what you're trying to take apart. I don't care whether you are doing general OW or the CCHs or prep checking or anything else. You're trying to take the charge off of the case. And as long as that charge stays there, that case is going to go one. And it is simply that charge. It isn't the knowingness of the PC. It isn't how the PC makes up his mind. It isn't the new postulates the PC recovers. It isn't this, it isn't that, it isn't anything. All it is get the charge off between those two. What happens? They're carefully balanced, postulate, counter-postulate, action, counter-action, mass, counter-mass. There they are, crush! And they hold this tremendous quantity of mass in suspension. And you discharge that reed between them by finding them and opposing them and finding a new one and opposing it and finding a new one and opposing it. That's the whole action. And this charge goes, and it can no longer maintain itself. It's impossible. It'd take him another 200 trillion years to stack it up again. Let's hope after he's been in Scientology, he'd be smart enough not to. Let's hope he runs out of his overts. Well, what happens? It's just that mechanism in the bank. Here's a goal, and this gives him something to do, and he becomes a warp to do it, and the warp is opposed to this over here, but then this rah that opposes him over here demands that he become a wick, and then the wick, of course, to get on in life, finds itself very involved with a splat. And there we are, bang, bang. It's got a spiral staircase. He lives from one type of identity to the next, trying to achieve this goal and trying to get rid of its opposition. That's all he's doing. Now, look, if you had it on the clock, how long it take me to make that explanation to you. That is all there is. You understand? Now, out of this comes a fantastic complexity. Fantastic. Out of this we get lux, and we get engrams, and we get secondaries, and we get the emotional tone scale, and we get this, and we get that, and we get the service facsimile, and we get everything that we have ever had. Out of that mechanism where it pertains to aberration. The other direction, like the Philadelphia lectures, the examination of a Thetan back in 52, postulates, counter, or just postulates, the anatomy of a Thetan as a Thetan. Just, you know, that's him, what he can do, what he consists of. That's truth. That isn't aberration. But as far as we've handled mechanisms of aberration, we're still talking about the GPM, and we're just talking about this charge. Item A, item B. They're charged one to the other. Oddly enough, you don't have to do a single thing to them. You don't have to run their withholds off against each other. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is get the charge off it. There's the charge. When you got it off the meter, it's listed down. Those things can't stay together anymore, and you find the PC's no longer interested in them. He cognites, and they're gone. It isn't the cognition that makes them gone. It's the fact you blew the charge. That's all it is. Totally mechanical operation. It's very interesting to the PC. He comes up with all kinds of phenomena. In fact, an auditor, if he sat and went through the phenomena the PC comes up with, could practically go blow. He could go mad trying to catch up with this phenomena, because it's fantastic quantities of phenomena. What he's trying to do is just get the charge off between item A, item B, item C, item D. Item E opposes item F. Item F is opposed by item G. So on and so on and so on and so on. It's the number of items you get. And they very mechanically surrender. 100% surrender to routine 3M. Now, you list a PC too long without finding his goal, he's going to start getting uncomfortable. He's going to wonder, what has a blinking millionaire got to do with a horseshoe curve? What does this refer to? He had no point of referral. Oddly enough, although it pesters him and it upsets him, you possibly could go 15, 20, 30 items. R.I. to R.I. to R.I. to R.I. He'd be more and more upset, you understand, and his mass wouldn't be as izzing well, and you'd have more trouble with it without knowing his goal. And all of a sudden, he said, he's like to have nothing. You say, what's that? That's the goal. That's the goal of all of this, to have nothing. So, all right. You'll see that you have been building a little bit of mass on the tone arm, and this will now drop off. You're operating without the goal, builds up mass, because if you know the goal, of course it helps, as is the mass. But what you're into here is an action which is tremendously repetitive in its action. You do this, and you do this, and you do this. Now, as you look this thing over, you say, well, there must be more to it than that. And that's one of your downfalls. No, there isn't more to it than that. There are certain rules of auditing, and there are certain best ways to do it, and there are some opinions about whether the auditor should smile graciously as he receives an item, or smile grimly as he receives an item, or not smile. You'll find schools developing along that line, but actually it doesn't matter. So there's a lot of figure here that doesn't matter. Now, why does an auditor do more than he's called on to do? Well, I'm afraid that he has a tendency, being human, for a while here, short time. I want to take a last look at being human, by the way. I'd take a good look at being human. I'd go out and be human for a little while. You won't get a chance very shortly. And what's he doing? Well, let me tell you a law. The physical universe is built on a games condition, and the optimum game in the physical universe is described by exactly these rules. Minimum ease of entrance, followed by maximum involvement. That is the two steps of a game. That's the physical universe idea of a game. That isn't the ideas of a game in Scientology. I'm just telling you how the physical universe treats this thing. In other words, if you have something, it's no trouble to enter. No trouble at all to enter. And you've got where there's no difficulty of entrance, you've got an immediate involvement, which becomes more and more and more and more involved, and there's just no way of getting out of it. Eventually you look around and it's just, we're all locked in here, and there's no doors. There's a chicken, a guinea hen out in the Midwest that they used to capture, because the chicken never looked down, and you could get it to pick corn off the ground right in through a tunnel, and as long as you had a box there that had a hole for them to walk in at the bottom, the guinea hen would never walk back out the hole again, because they're just built that way. That's a total messed universe bird. The bird would just look up after that and be trapped, and you reach in through the hole and pick out the guinea hen, you see? That bird had been too well educated. The bird itself was cooperating with the involvement. Now, these are just two steps. That's the only requisite to a successful, quote, messed universe game, unquote. That's totally successful. You just have something that takes no trouble at all to enter and gives maximum continuing involvement after it's been entered, which has no end product. You got it. Now, I talked to Reg the other day. He mentioned this to him. He says, he says, it's a good example of that. He says, a fellow stops on the street and looks in the window of a store. And if that window is just all kinds of stuff piled all over the window, everything going up this way, the guy's sunk. Of course, it's terrific involvement of his attention. He walks in. Some other store, Tiffany's, something like that, why, there's a single pearl sitting on an ocean of black velvet, and you never find anybody stopping. And if they do stop, they say, isn't that nice, and walk on. No, Tiffany's involvement has to do with, are you a member of the 400? Can you afford to pay far more than you should pay? The involvement is your credit good enough? You see, all of those are all involvements, but they use a different type of involvement than some merchandising house that is a chain store, Macy's or something like that. You go by the window, and here's some baby's pants, and down here's a hot water bottle, and then there's a machine gun peeking out from underneath a pair of lace trimmed pedal pushers, you know, and there's a beach ball over there in the corner and so forth, and back of the beach ball are live alligators. And isn't that intriguing, you see? And the guy looks, the next thing you know, he's walking into Macy's. See, there's no difficulty in stopping in front of the window, and he gets maximal involvement in the thing. Get the idea? Well, these are the rules by which you can measure any continuing game that is purely a messed universe game. Income tax. The ease with which governments entered in upon income tax. I swear there's probably no slightest difficulty where it began, which is in Karl Marx's, from each according to his ability to pay, to each according to his need. That was Marxian rule of taxation, which has been written in all through the West now. About 1909, I think it was. And I swear he probably had no difficulty whatsoever writing those words. He wrote them in German. No difficulty. There wasn't the slightest difficulty writing him. He probably threw himself off another bowl of hashish or whatever he used to do and wrote those words. There was no difficulty there. There was no difficulty reading those words. Finally, a lot of people said, that's very easy. There's nothing to that. And they amended a few constitutions, passed some laws, and the years went along, and you had this thing called income tax, and everybody started to get poorer because you didn't dare make a profit because you'd pay it out in tax. And then the government started hiring more and more people and more and more people. Finally, they got one income tax collector per citizen, which was the optimum ratio. And then they finally involved an income increment of increased profits return. That's filed in addition to a form 6892B. And then that, of course, has to be filed only by the professional accountant. The unprofessional accountant files 1682-44. That's the form he files, you see. Only that has to be then refiled because it is always kept on the other file. And finally, do you know, nobody can pay an income tax. They talk about tax evasion. It isn't tax evasion. It's just impossible to pay an income tax. You say impossible, you say it's easy to go down and pay an income tax. If you work 9 till 5 and have your pay deducted by your employer, he's got all the difficulty. If you yourself are making your own coffee and cakes, and the government can't put the bee on some employer or something like that, you're in trouble the whole way. You talk about involvement. Now just try and walk down to an income tax office and say, here's my income tax, give me a quit claim for all taxes. If you did that, you'd probably precipitate a complete investigation of your affairs, going back to why your grandmother had to marry. And it just is impossible. You pay a tax of this year, therefore you got to pay next year another type of tax, but more tax because you paid the tax this year. And you finally, guys get so desperate they can't pay the tax, don't you see? It's all a total involvement. So then they start tax evasion, because if they pay the tax, then they're hooked. Not just hooked, but you can't pay the tax, so they had better evade not tax paying, but tax collection. And they're evading an involvement of tax collection. You see that idea? Now, you look over any one of these corny games that has gone on, and you say, isn't the world mad? You know, the world has gone utterly mad. No, the world hasn't gone utterly mad. The world has gone utterly missed universe. And the lower on the scale a Thetan gets, the more he starts approximating the laws of the missed universe. That's, you can count on that. The more he acts like the laws of missed. And the only time you're going to get anything done with anybody as a Thetan and so forth is somebody who still has some section that doesn't act according to the laws of Mest. He can still think. Mest does not think. But this law of involvement is definitely there, and it waits as a trap for the unwary auditor. And he's liable to follow it. Unconsciously and unknowingly is liable to follow it. The ease of entrance. You know, get any old goal, the PC's apparently happy, everything is fine, and then you get any old goal, and you list the goal, and you list the goal on down. It's perfectly easy for the PC to have sat there in the chair, see? And then the auditor unconsciously starts following a dramatization of the law of involvement. And he just starts throwing new things into the session. You see, it's anything but this goals list. See, he didn't really check out the goal. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. He's involving. It was very easy for him to become involved. It was very easy for the PC to become involved. So this has become more and more involved. And the immediate impulse of the auditor is to do something new and more involved. You understand that? That's a mess characteristic of a game. They become more involved and more involved and more involved. We go on and on and on. And you'll find out that a very bad auditor is pretty messy. Will just keep involving the PC more deeply. Every time he does something wrong, he will do something else that is new. And do something wrong with it. And then do something else that is new. And then do something wrong with it. And then do something else that is new. And do something wrong with it. You get the involvement. And the next thing you know, the PC is going, Fortunately for us, 3M is sufficiently strong that all you have to do is go back and take the earliest step of 3M that was done, which is probably in this case that I was just describing to you, goals list. Get that list listed down properly and do it right, and all the liability comes off it. Suppose you had the PC's right goal and got a wrong item off the source list because somebody was a real knucklehead and so forth. You only have to find the right item off that. I don't care if 3M was done for 75 consecutive hours by a complete knucklehead that wrapped the PC around not only telephone poles but fire plugs. We don't care about that. You go right back to the earliest wrong area that you can find and work out in that area 3M. Wherever you can get into that area and get the proper 3M action, the rest of it straightens out. Because we've whipped this game of the messed universe. But there's still, to some degree, here and there, more frequently than you would believe at first glance, going to be some impulse to just involve the PC more deeply. You see that? You're just a dramatization, you understand? You'll see somebody sitting down and the person just isn't thinking right, and they just will think in the direction of deeper involvement. Not straightening out anything. Let's just do something new. Let's just do something different. Let's just do something wrong. Let's do this. And that involves the PC more and more deeply and 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 involves the auditor in more and more worry and more and more worry and more and more worry. And eventually the PC's running a fever of 190 and the auditor is running ulcers that are a foot in diameter and so on. Just recognize it. Just recognize it. You've taken a very powerful technique which is addressed to an individual and you've followed the Miss Universe curve of the game, which is ease of entrance and increasing involvement. The thing to do is go back and put 3M on the road. Now, 3M, at first glance, appears to go along this line. And that's a fooler. And that's why it's going to be very successful. It's very easy to start it. You just say to somebody, what's your goal? Oh, what's my goal? Oh, boy. Oh, gee, you know, he'll answer. One of the ways of involving him is get him all interested in what his goal is and then write out 8,642 goals and get a whole long overlisted list. Tonar's long time been stuck on the goals list and so forth, and then get him all and so on, and then lose the goals list. Don't expect me to say you're a good boy if you do that. Don't expect me to do anything about that but swear. I, by the way, have recovered several languages in which to swear, so you watch out. Anyhow, the crux of the situation is, as you go along this line, there appears to be a deeper and deeper and deeper involvement. Yeah, the PC's getting good and involved. And you can start worrying about how deeply the PC is involved while the case is running perfectly all right. Now, get that. See, there's the other danger. See, not only can the case run all wrong and the auditor sit there in total complacency, but you can get a reverse of this. How the case is running beautifully. You get RIs. The PC's going, oh, my God, you know, what a terrible mess that is, you know. And then he gets another RI and so on, and he changes his mind about it, and he goes on, and he's getting lighter colored and that sort of thing. But the tone arm starts going up. The tone arm, it's up 5.5, and the blowdown on the new RI was only to 4.75. Oh, God, and the new RI has a list of pain at the tone arm goes to 5.75. Oh, God, so we go on here, and we get a blowdown to 5.6. It's just something to worry about. See? You look at the PC. PC's all right. You go along with that. But look at that tone arm, man. And we get the next item. And it goes to 5.75. And there's no tone arm action at all. And we get only a blowdown of 5.6. Say anything about it in here? No. Then what you worrying for? You understand what you're worrying for? It says a blowdown when you get the RI. How much is a blowdown? Well, it's as much as a blowdown is. How long is a piece of string? Let me tell you something. This is pure phenomena. You don't need it desperately, but it'll keep you from worrying. Most of the stuff you see released now will just be in the direction of keeping you from worrying, because I know what you'll worry about. Every single one of these GPMs goes a cycle. Every single one of them goes a cycle. PC starts in down here, and he usually rides around 3.25, and it's perfectly all right. He goes up, and he gets a little bit of a 3.75, and it blows back to 3.25. And then your next couple, 3, 4 RI lists that you get, the thing has been going up to 4 and has been blowing down to 3.5. And you get a couple of more and it goes up to 5 and it blows down to 4.5. And then it will go up to 5, and it will blow down to 4.75. And then it'll go up to 5, and it'll blow down to 3.5. And then it will go up to 4.75, and it'll blow down to 3.25. And then the next RI, 3 or 4 you get, it will go up to 4.25, and it'll blow down to 2. And then it will come up here, and as you list, go up to 3.25, and then blow down to 3. And then it goes up to 3.75 as you list, and then when you find that RI, it blows down to 3. And then it sits there, and you list, and it sits at 3. And it blows down to 3 from 3. And you say, God, I'm not getting any blowdown. There's one you could worry about, you know. It's just sitting on clear reading. I'm not getting a blowdown. And the needle, oh, God, go up to the deity. Oh, my God, I can't read the needle now. It just keeps going ploppity, ploppity, plop from one side to the other. Can't read it. Can't even get the rudiments in on the PC. And all the PC does is sit there and grin. You'll do it. You'll say to this girl or something, look, you cleared him. Oh? So she says, that's fine. So she gets into the next GPM, see? Same cycle repeats. The tone arm goes up, then it blows down. And it goes up higher, and it blows down less. And it goes up higher, and it blows down less. And it goes up higher, and it goes up higher, and even higher than you've seen it before. And then finally blows down, and then it starts to blow down closer and closer to Tillery. Item after item, behavior. In other words, there's a point in any GPM where you got a high, stuck, mean tone arm that doesn't blow down much. What you worrying for? It's just phenomena. You're going to sweat yourself to death on a lot of things. You say, This PC's eyes, black, you know. Oh, my God, the PC's eyes is black. Every morning she come in, black as the ace of spades, every morning. By God, I found out she was using mascara. Honest, you can't run out mascara until the person's a fourth or fifth goal clear. You're going to find all kinds of things to worry about. But I'll tell you what you better worry about. I'll tell you what you better worry about, and this is a fact. You better worry about doing a departure from these brief rundown by step rules. That's what you worry about. Worry about departing from that. When you do something and it doesn't come out with this result, then you've goofed. How do you know you have departed from the brief rundown by steps, routine 3M, or any other concise 3M bulletin as they come out along the line? There will be more of them issued. They will be lengthier, more concise. There'll be this, there'll be that, there'll be the other thing. How would we know now that we have departed? Well, it didn't come out right. So we better go back and find out what isn't being done. And where wasn't it done first? And get it done there first. And then we find out that what we've just done wrong will come out right. A PC can take quite a beating. Now, there's one other piece of phenomena that I can give you that will save you a lot of worry. When you first find the PC's goal and you do a source list, all this business about the PC turning black or something like that, or getting off-colored if something is wrong, is violated by that original step. When you get a PC's goal, and that PC is listed out on a source list all the way through, don't be very amazed if the PC gets black, because most of them will. The GPM is moving out of them. and their skin tone goes awfully sooty. I've seen it now, case after case. What you start worrying about is you find RI after RI, they aren't getting any lighter. There must be something wrong there. So you go back and find your brief rundown by steps, look it over, and find out where you departed from this line. And you generally will find that you didn't pick the right RI off there. Four rocket reading items on the source list. All rocket reading. Source list incomplete. There are various conditions. There's a condition of overlisting. Oh, you can be a complete idiot on overlisting. You can list 90 pages when you should have listed 10. You just list a list. A list is as long as it should be. And how long should a list be? Well, actually, you ought to get no TA motion, and that's a relative statement. But no TA motion, and 50 items beyond that, and 50 items beyond the last RS. On the list, or RR on the list, whichever is last. You'll find out that is how long a list is, and your item will be on it. There are two types of lists, one of the things you haven't looked at yet. There are two types of lists in 3M and in 212. There are two types of lists. One is the goal opposed list, or the source list, and that has entirely different rules of operation and mechanics. And then there's the RI opposed list, which is the reliable item list. And that has different mechanics. And you'll find out in the brief rundown by steps that steps 1 to 7 of this 3M step rundown are devoted to a source list and handling of source list, getting the thing started. And steps 8 to 13 are totally dedicated to an RI list. There are two different types of lists. They behave differently. You already have to know the behavior for each one. There aren't a lot of randomities going to jump up and put them in the face. I've been auditing and getting audited and doing research auditing and watching folders here and working and working and working with this for a very, very long time. And I had a terrible time whipping up enough constants. There had to be enough constants so there wouldn't be a lot of variables. And fortunately, I found these constants and put them down here and be guided by the constants, not how variable they get out around the perimeter. And you will do fine. Now, you've only got one clearing procedure, and I wish you had 8 or 9 or 10, but in actual fact, there's only one, and that is 3M. And it doesn't have very many steps. This thing's only got 15 steps. Probably the absolute rules of one kind or another boil down to being less than 20, something like that. There are very few. Bank behavior is very constant. It's not actually very much to learn. The thing that you want is familiarity. The thing that you want is confidence. The thing that you want is to know that is the way it is and see it in front of you operating that way and know that you can pull it off. That's the main thing you need. And I'm afraid an auditor has to go through all of these steps of the horrors of it all and worry and chew his fingernails to the elbow and give it all up and try to blow the brains out and because it's just all too difficult. If I had an auditor left here, you remember Irene, she wrote me from Perth. I got the letter today. She's had a cognition for all of her training. 3 years of very hard, intensive auditing. She's had a cognition. That's a very simple activity, and the more simply you do it, the more results you get. And the less complication you add into it, why, the better it is. And it's taken her 3 years, and she's now cognited, more or less, I think that was the paraphrase of it anyway, that auditing is a simple activity. Now she's already done the cognition. It isn't necessary for you to cognite. Just know it, realize it's simple, and you got it made, and you'll make clears. Now, what you want out of this is clear. What you want out of this is to be clear. What I want out of this is for you to be clear and for you to make clears. We can do that. It just all depends on your constancy, carrying forward the ethical approach. If something reads, it reads, and if it doesn't read, it doesn't read. And you'll produce them. The technology is there. You're there. Let's get the show on the road. And realize that when you get a PC involved, I already know the MEST rule of games, which is easy entrance and deep involvement. Remember, I already know that, so I'll be looking at you. But basically, what I want to look at is the number of clears you make, and I want you so clear that when they tap you on the shoulder, you just ring for hours. Okay? That's it. Thank you very much. Good night.